Please turn with me to the book of Luke this evening. Luke chapter 18. Our text this evening will be verses 9 through 14, a parable that Jesus tells. As you're turning there, and so that I don't neglect to do so before the month is out, I just want to express publicly my thanks to Stephen and Carla Steele for coming out all the way across the pond, as they say, to do an internship this summer with us. I will be out of the pulpit the next couple of weeks, but I hope that you have seen you will be well taken care of over the next couple Lord's days, and very thankful for you guys being here, and we're enjoying your time with us, so thank you guys. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, let's give our careful attention this evening to the reading of God's holy word. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing afar off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Please bow with me briefly in prayer. Our Father, thank you for your glorious word. Thank you for taking the time and giving us light so that we might know the path that we are to walk. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you for revealing your kingdom. Thank you for revealing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. We pray that tonight, as we spend some time, brief moments in your word, that you might build us up in our most holy faith, exalt Christ among us, and draw us anew to him as we consider the text before us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe it is because the evangelical church in the West no longer understands the sacraments to be actual means of grace. Or maybe it is because, in particular, we have reduced the Lord's Supper to nothing more than a mere memorial. That it is the case that we do not think or care much today about coming worthily to the Lord's table. And yet it should be of interest to us that the scriptures are pretty clear about the negative effects of trying to participate in communion in an unworthy way. In other words, there is a risk of eating and drinking judgment upon ourselves if we are not careful. Paul writes clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about how some in the church had gotten sick and even died because they were coming to the Lord's table wrongly. And therefore, if we believe the Bible to be true, and if we actually have a faith that trembles at the warnings and the threatenings of Scripture, we too should be concerned with the subject of the 97th question of our shorter catechism. What is required to the worthy receiving of the Lord's Supper? In fact, it's only when we really take the Lord's Supper seriously, understanding that in it we are not just going through the motions, but we are actually communing with the one living and true God. It's only when we actually take the Lord's Supper seriously that we will sufficiently concern ourselves with this vital question of worthily receiving it. Is this something that we have sufficiently thought about and acted on? Or does our attitude and our practice in regard to coming to the Lord's table need major change? Is there care in our coming, or do we show up to the administrations of the Lord's Supper with no more consideration and no more preparation than if we just got in line at a potluck meal? This evening, I want to persuade you of the need to be thinking about coming in a worthy manner to the Lord's table, but also, and even more particularly, by God's blessing on His own word tonight, I want to persuade you that the only way that we can worthily partake of the Lord's Supper is when we come realizing that we are actually unworthy in ourselves to partake. Let me say that again, that the only way that we actually come worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper is when we come recognizing that in ourselves we are unworthy to partake. Indeed, our only worthiness is found in Jesus Christ, and therefore we must take the time before we come to examine ourselves. And here I would like to direct your attention to the bulletin there in the printed answer to the 97th question. We must take the time to examine ourselves of our knowledge to discern the Lord's body, of our faith to feed upon Him, of our repentance, love, and new obedience, lest coming unworthily, we eat and drink judgment to ourselves. In Acts chapter 17, verse 6, the apostles are accused of turning the world upside down, and that is no exaggeration. The gospel is world-altering, and God's economy is so different than the way that mankind operates. Indeed, the Lord declares in Isaiah 55, verse 8, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In what ways are the Lord's thoughts not our thoughts? How are we to understand this upside down kind of life and thinking that the Lord is calling us to? Consider the following. When the Lord chose David over all of his older brothers, He declared, "The Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart." Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, "The last will be first, and the first will be last. And again in Mark 10:43-44, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Paul describes God in Romans chapter 4, particularly verse 17, as the God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which are not as though they were. In the same chapter, he previously described God as the God who justifies the ungodly. Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. In Luke chapter 18 here, I hope you have your text open before you. We have a perfect picture of this matter and a clear proof of God's kingdom way, which is so upside down from the way of the world. Notice in this parable, Jesus is trying to get through and he tells us exactly why, or we're told exactly why he tells this parable. He's trying to get through to those who trust in themselves and their own works, thinking that they are righteous in themselves, all the while despising others. Notice here we have first a Pharisee. And for those of us who live far removed from the time of Christ in ancient Israel, the Pharisees were considered to be the most holy and religious people of their day. We tend to think of it as a bad thing, but in their day, people would have looked at their lives and wanted to be like them. They were respectable. They were obedient. They were generally very moral and religious people. But what was going on in their hearts is provided here for us by Jesus in verses 11 and 12. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. Morally pure, very religious, but self-righteous and condemning of others. On the other hand, there was a tax collector. Tax collectors were virtually traitors against their own people in that day. They worked for the enemy. They worked for the occupying power, Rome. And they were generally very immoral and dishonest people. And so here is a real serious sinner. But he knows that he is. And we hear his prayer in verse 13. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what's the outcome? Which one will be accepted by God? Which one is actually right in the eyes of the Lord? Well, in verse 14, Jesus speaks and he tells us, I tell you, this man, speaking of the tax collector, the sinner, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. There it is. There's that upside down way of the Lord, rejecting the one who thinks he is worthy and considering worthy the one who does not think he is. Congregation, you are not worthy by your obedience, by your faithfulness, by your devotion to the Lord. You are worthy only by the obedience of Jesus Christ, by the faithfulness of God to His gospel promises, and by the Lord's devotion to you to never leave you or to forsake you. Humility accepts the gift that is offered to you in Christ, and that is the only way to worthily come to the Lord's table. That is God's upside down way of thinking, way of doing things. So what does this actually look like in practice as far as coming to the Lord's table? How can we come, as it were, right side up in the Lord's economy? Sorry for the corny outline tonight, but the main work of preparing for coming to the Lord's table, the main work and what we are called to do, is to examine ourselves. What do you have to do before next Lord's Day? We come next Lord's Day evening to come to the Lord's table. What are you to be doing between now and then? The main work of preparing for coming to the Lord's table is the activity of examining ourselves. In our 97th question of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, notice there, if you have it, the outline, that the proof texts are entirely from 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Paul's instruction to the church as to how we should be coming to the Lord's Supper. And there are five things that we are to be examining ourselves in relation to. We are to examine ourselves, first of all, of our knowledge to discern the Lord's body. Secondly, of our faith to feed upon Him. Thirdly, of our repentance. Fourthly, of our love. And fifthly, of our new obedience. Consider the following passages. Where do we get these things? Well, they come straight out of the Word for us. Of our knowledge to discern the Lord's body, consider 1 Corinthians 11, 28 and 29. Let a person, and here it is, let a person examine himself. Why do we talk about self-examination? Because the Scriptures do. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. Consider 2 Corinthians 13:5 of this matter of examining ourselves of our faith to feed upon Him. Hear it in the very words again. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Of our repentance, 1 Corinthians 11:31. But if we judged ourselves, it's also the word, if we discerned ourselves truly, we would not be judged. Of our love, this is a little harder, but of our love, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation or a communion in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation, again, or communion in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17. And of our new obedience, consider 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 and 8. Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let me make this very clear, that self-examination is not a checking of whether or not one is worthy in themselves. Self-examination is not a checking of yourself to see whether in and of yourself you are worthy, but rather, simply stated, self-examination is the practice of seeing whether one is in Christ or not. Each of these matters that we are being called to examine ourselves of, each of these flow from being united to Jesus Christ. They are manifestations of our union with Him. They are fruits of the Holy Spirit's work within us. Our knowledge to discern the Lord's body involves, when we're examining ourselves of whether we have the knowledge to discern the Lord's body, it involves understanding that the sacramental symbols represent Jesus' broken body and shed blood for your sin. Do you get that? Do you get it in a personal way that this represents what I needed for my sin? Do you understand and realize that you need His death so that you might live? That is what your sin has caused. Your sin has caused His death. Do you understand that when you come to the Lord's table? Do you think on that before you come? Our faith to feed upon Him is believing on Jesus as the Savior for sinners. It is not in the physical bread and wine that we have grace. It is not in those elements that we have grace, but it is only in Jesus Christ who is represented by those symbols. And so are you renewing your trust and your faith in Jesus each time you come? What you can do as you come to the Lord's table is you can be saying to yourself, you can be saying in your heart, frankly, you can say it out loud if you want, as you come, that you believe that He loved you and He gave Himself for you. Of our repentance involves taking a very hard and an honest look at our own hearts and lives, and by God's grace, turning from the sin that we find there. How many times have we come to the Lord's table as a congregation? How many times have you come? We come every month as a church. When was the last time that there was a definitive sin that you were convicted about? That as you knew we were coming to the Lord's table, that you put off that sin and you put on Christ? Every time we come, every month that we come, we should be putting off something new. You will never, if you live 1,000 years, which you won't, if you live for the next 100 years, you could every month come and there would be a new sin the Lord could put His finger on, and you could put that off and put on Christ, making no provision for the flesh. Are you taking the opportunity of our frequent administrations of the Lord's Supper to put off and put on? Our love, as we're called to here, our love is manifested in our love for Jesus and our love for one another. I have encouraged you, and I want to continue to encourage you, to look around while we are participating in communion together. Look around while we're eating and drinking and realize that Jesus loves all of these people around you. That these are your brothers and sisters in Christ, and you are part of the people whom He loves. Do you have something against one of your brothers or sisters? Well, love them and go to them and seek to make it right with them. If you were to stand before Christ, what specific matter could you lovingly thank Him for? If Jesus were before you and you could say, Lord Jesus, I want to thank You for this. Are you thinking of thoughts and things that Christ has done for you that you can truly, lovingly thank Him for. From the depth of your soul, say, I want to lovingly thank you for this. It should be, thank you for giving your life for me. In all sincerity. And our new obedience should flow from our repentance and the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit within us. Because of His grace, here's that question again. Because of His grace, are you putting on Christ Jesus and making no provision for the flesh? Is there a general upward trajectory in your Christian life? Is there? Think about your life. Is there a general upward trajectory? Meaning, is there growth in grace? Is there progress in sanctification? Are you striving in His grace to become more like Him? Are you, by the Spirit, mortifying sin in the flesh and enjoying that freedom of walking in new obedience? That is what we are called to. These are the ways of the Lord. We could summarize it in a simple sentence. It's resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ and responding to the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. Resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ and responding to the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. Or in light of this morning's sermon, the ongoing work of Jesus in you by His Spirit, which was right on. Knowing the gospel, laying hold of Christ by faith, repenting of our sin, loving the Lord and each other fervently, and desiring to be more and more conformed to His image. Our worthiness is in Jesus Christ. Our worthiness is in knowing that we are not worthy in ourselves, but only in Him. We are to examine ourselves, and let me encourage you, if you are truly, if you take that moment of time, and if you take that opportunity, and you truly focus for a moment and examine yourself, you engage in that act that we're called to of self-examination. If you are doing it right, you will feel very unworthy in yourself to come. If you examine yourself and you feel, I don't deserve to be there, you're doing it right. But your self-examination is to ultimately get you to flee to Christ. And to find salvation and worthiness in Him. Coming to the Lord's table rightly is coming in complete. Not a little, not partial, not mostly, but in complete reliance on Jesus, not on yourself. It is remembering Him. That's why you do your self-examination before you come, so that you can worthily receive. But when it comes to the administration of the Lord's table, you come remembering Him, not yourself. You come looking to Him. You do not come looking at yourself. Next Lord's Day evening, we will come to the Lord's table together as a congregation, and therefore take time this week to examine yourself and rest anew in Christ. That is how you worthily eat and drink. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You again for the guidance of Your Word, and we pray now for the enabling of Your Holy Spirit to walk in obedience in light of it. Father, I pray for this congregation that this coming week, this being the Lord's Day, the beginning of it, that we might have a very different and special week as Your people. That we would engage in this most holy act that we're called to examine ourselves, to see whether we are in the faith. Father, I plead with You that my brethren might find in themselves nothing And by looking inward, they would be driven to look outward to Christ in all of his perfections and sufficiency. Father, work by your Spirit in us. Increase us in holiness as a church. May we truly come and commune with Christ next Lord's Day. May we come ready because of your grace, because of your word, because of new obedience that you work within us. We plead with you that as we come, Lord willing, next Lord's Day to the Lord's table, that it might be one of the most significant times of communion with Christ in our recent walk with you. And so please bless us to that end. May we encourage one another on to love and good works, and encourage each other to self-examination and ultimately a rest upon Jesus and his sufficiency. Lord, I ask that you might do this among us as your people, and I do pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to change.